Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is When in Doubt. Based on Matthew chapter 11, our gospel for today, let me read to you verse 2. When John the Baptizer heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" Your sermon outline is printed for you in the yellow insert. I encourage you to follow along as we consider our theme, When in Doubt. Well, in our lives, it's true, isn't it? Things just aren't always as they should be. Sometimes surprises come our way. When the world famous scientist Albert Einstein was on the lecture circuit, giving a lecture about his famous theory of relativity, you know, the equation E equals MC squared, often wherever he went, he was driven in a chauffeur-driven limousine. One day on the way to another lecture, the chauffeur turned to Einstein in the back of the car and said, "Dr. Einstein, I have heard this lecture so many times, I've got it memorized. I bet you I could deliver the lecture with no problems." Einstein said, "I'll take you up on your bet. This next town we're going to, they've never met me before. I'll wear your chauffeur's cap and jacket. You introduce yourself as me and give the lecture." And he did. And he gave it perfectly, till toward the end of the lecture, a learned professor stood up in the back and raised his hand and asked a very complex mathematical question. But the quick-thinking chauffeur said, "Sir, the answer to your question is so simple, I'm surprised that you asked it. To show you how simple it is, I'm going to call up my chauffeur to answer your question." Sometimes in life, things just aren't always as they should be. Sometimes surprises come our way. Now, often life brings us surprises, like how we find John the Baptizer in today's text from Matthew chapter 11. We find him filled with doubts. He's in prison. And he sent others to ask Jesus, "Are you really the Christ? Or should we look for somebody else?" John the Baptizer doubting? That's not the way things should be. That's a surprise. John the Baptizer, that mighty man of God, that fearless prophet, that hellfire and brimstone preacher, that man calling people to repentance, that one who is called the one preparing the way of the Lord, he is here expressing his doubts in Jesus. John the Baptizer had his doubts. And so do we, even so close to Christmas. John was in prison when he doubted. What are your prisons of doubts? Do your doubts have to do with finances? Or with health? Or with family members? Or with the future? John was imprisoned by King Herod in a fortress dungeon. He would soon be beheaded by Herod. As he awaits his fate, some visitors come to John, and John is beginning to have his doubts about this Jesus. This same Jesus John had dedicated his life to serving and proclaiming. You see, in John's life, there seemed to be a difference between reality and expectations. Things weren't as they should be. And so he began to doubt. John the Baptizer had preached with great passion about the coming Christ. He declared the coming Christ to be a holy judge, a mighty Lord, one before whom all sinners will quake and shake with fear. But what was Jesus doing? He was healing the sick. He was loving the outcast. He was forgiving the sinner. Now, John may well have been thinking in prison, things just aren't as they should be. But you see, John's problem was a matter of timing. Jesus will come at the end of the world as a mighty God, a fearsome Lord, one before whom all sinners will quake. But not yet. Before that great and awful day of judgment, Jesus came to save sinners, not to judge them. John's timing and his expectations did not match up with God's. And so John began to have his doubts. My friends, in our lives, when our timing and our expectations for things we desire don't match with God's, often we have our doubts. But John took his doubts where? He took his doubts to Jesus, and so can we. Verses 2 and 3 of our text read, "When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another?'" John had his doubts, and so do we. But what did John do? While he was in prison, he did not keep his doubts and fears to himself. So they festered into unbelief and despair. No, John sent his friends to Jesus with a question. And what did Jesus do? Jesus did not reject John or his doubts. Are you hearing me? Today, our Lord Jesus will never reject you or your doubts or fears either. And Jesus responded to John's confession of doubts by three things. Note your sermon outline, will you? Jesus assures John. Jesus blesses John. And finally, Jesus defends and actually brags about John. First of all, he assures. Verses 4 and 5 say, "And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them.'" Jesus here lovingly reminds John of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 35, which was today's Old Testament reading that Reuben read so well for us today. In this ancient prophecy, Isaiah foretells what the coming Messiah will do. And Jesus fulfills the words of the prophecies item by item. But maybe you didn't notice. Jesus here assures John that he is the one that the prophet foretold. But Jesus also mentions one item that Isaiah had never mentioned. In this one item, he gives John a word of a promise, a word of assurance that John really needed to hear. It's a word of assurance that we need to hear as well. Here's what Jesus added to the prophecy of Isaiah. Jesus said, "Until John, the dead are raised." This would be a welcome word of assurance to John. How come? Well, as you may recall, John was in prison awaiting his own death. And Jesus hereby assures John that death is not the end for the believer. Did you hear me? Death does not have the final word for the believer in Christ. My dear friends, death is surely the last and greatest enemy we all have to face. But here, Jesus assures us He raises the dead. He raised His friend Lazarus. He himself rose from his tomb on Easter Sunday, and you who put your faith in him will be raised at the last day. Jesus himself spoke these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus assures John, but next he blesses him. In verse 6, look at what Jesus says. And John, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus says, blessed is the one whose faith is in me and who is not offended by their association with me. No matter what others people say, no matter what other people do, no matter what other people think, blessed are you when you're not offended by your association with me. This was Jesus' way of blessing John, of saying to John, John, I know even you're in prison and your death is near. I know, John, that you won't fall away from me. My love for you cannot be destroyed by your doubts right now or the attack of unbelievers who imprison you. What good news this is for John. What good news and what word of blessing it is for us today, my friends, today, right now. Receive this word of blessing from your Lord Jesus. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me, no matter what other people say or do. Jesus assures John. He blesses John. And finally, he defends him. Now, perhaps some people's respect for John and their esteem for John fell when they heard about his doubts. But here, Jesus defends John. And he does more than that. He brags about him. He brags about him to the crowds who had gathered. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 11, 7 through 11. Jesus spoke to the crowds. Why don't you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written in the prophet Isaiah, behold, I send my messenger. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptizer. Wow. Jesus both defends John and he brags about him to the crowds. Oh, how Jesus loved John. And let me tell you a little secret in case you've forgotten it. Oh, how Jesus loves you too. Yes, you. And when that liar, the devil, comes to you and attacks you, and when he accuses you of not being what you should be, when the liar, the devil, accuses you of not doing what you should be doing, when he comes to you and he accuses you of being a sinner, my friends, admit it. Say, yes, devil, I am a sinner. Yes, I am not all that God has made me to be, but I have a mighty Savior. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. He has forgiven me. He has loved me. And devil, if you have a complaint against me, you take it up with my Lord. He has defeated you. He has defeated sin. And he has defeated death. And he has done it for me. And I am precious to him above all else. In fact, my dear friends, this is just what Jesus says in verse 11 of today's text. He says that John the Baptizer was great. He said no greater person has come from a woman's womb than John the Baptizer. But then he says, you and me, we are even greater. Listen to what he says. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptizer, yet the one who is in least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. What could this mean? The answer is found two chapters later in Matthew 13. Listen to the words of our Lord. Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men have longed to see what you see, have longed to hear what you hear, but they did not see and hear it." Jesus says here that as great a man as John the Baptizer was, and all the biblical prophets were, for them the cross of Good Friday and the empty tomb of Easter Sunday was only a future hope. They never got to know and see firsthand what you and I know and what we've seen. You and I today, who trust in Jesus, have seen and do know what they only hoped for. We know that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And so Jesus calls us greater than John the Baptizer. So my dear friends, when in doubt, what are you to do? That's our sermon title, in case you've forgotten. When in doubt. By the example of John the Baptizer, Jesus has taught us three things. And would you look to the bottom of your sermon outline, please? And take this outline, in fact, take your whole bulletin every Sunday home. But today especially, take this sermon outline. It will be helpful to you. When in doubt, what are we to do? By the example of John the Baptizer, our Lord Jesus has taught us these three things. Number one, don't keep your doubts inside your heart. Number two, bring them to the Lord, either by yourself or with the help of other believers like Christian friends or even your pastor. And number three, always know that Jesus will never turn you away because His cross and His empty tomb are your guarantees, paid for in blood. If any of you walk or drive by our home in the month of December, you'll see a large cross in our front window. It's a large cross all lit up with Christmas lights. It's actually quite visible from a great distance, especially at night. And people may wonder, and some have asked, why a cross at Christmas? Well, as you heard from the vicar in last Sunday's sermon, all that Jesus was about, all that He spoke to John the Baptizer about, all that our church and our personal faith is about, and all that Christmas is finally about, is the cross. God's gift of love at Christmas is the love of a Savior who was born in Bethlehem's manger, that He might one day die upon that cross to pay for your sins and mine and for the sins of the world. My friends, Jesus loved John the Baptizer. Jesus loves the world. And Jesus loves you. Of this, you need have no doubts. In the name of Jesus, amen.